Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, Celeste Headley here with John Hockenberry, and we now have the Obama Doctrine, which is in many ways a departure from the Bush Doctrine. The Obama administration is set to release their national security strategy today. The last time we got a security strategy was, of course, the Bush Doctrine, outlined in 2002, refined in 2006, in which one of the prevailing notions in there was the idea of the preemptive strike.
If we wait for threats to fully materialize, we will have waited too long. The war on terror will not be won on the defensive. We must take the battle to the enemy, disrupt his plans, and confront the worst threats before they emerge.
We have more details on Obama's new security strategy from Chief Washington Correspondent for the New York Times, David Sanger. And in many ways, you say that this new strategy includes many subtle slaps at President George W. Bush. So to a certain extent, this is a response to the Bush Doctrine.
It certainly is. And when you think about it, the entire Obama campaign in 2008 was a response to the Bush Doctrine. I mean, let's look at preemption to begin with. I don't think that President Obama would ever take preemption off the table, just as other presidents didn't. I mean, think about it. John Kennedy basically threatened preemption during the Cuban Missile Crisis, a
right.
threat that was gathering on an island off of Florida, right? So it's been around for a long time. But what the Obama Doctrine seems to say is, first, don't wave these things like a red flag in front of the bull. And secondly, don't walk around pretending that the United States can retain the preeminent position it had in all areas at a moment when great powers are rising like China, at a moment when smaller powers are taking a bigger regional role, you know, Brazil, or you know, we could go around the world and do a list. And I think the third really interesting element of the new national security strategy is that it makes the argument that in a world of limited resources and big budget deficits, the United States cannot afford to maintain unsustainable military presence around the world. And that's a way of saying we can't be in Iraq and Afghanistan for all that long.
Okay, well, one thing that he's already being criticized for is not placing enough emphasis on fighting terrorism. That clearly was the overarching goal of the Bush security strategies. But in President Obama's security strategy, he calls the gravest threat to the American people and global security weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons. Then he goes on to talk about cyber threats, climate change, and the dependence on fossil fuels. Those certainly made no appearance in the Bush Doctrine.
Well, the weapons of mass destruction, of course, did, but of course, you know, there the threat is the combination of WMD and a terror group, because
right.
terror groups are very hard to deter. Certainly, the American dependence on fossil fuels, I don't remember reading in the 2002 national security strategy. Mm. Certainly, climate change was not a big part of the Bush national security strategy. So I think what you're seeing President Obama try to do is open the lens up and say our national security is much wider and a much broader issue than just counterterrorism.
And that's interesting.
And then there's
because
a really interesting section, Celeste, where he basically says, you want a big threat to national security? It's large debts.
Right. And he compares the coverage of national security to not only include the Department of Defense, but also the Department of the Treasury, that economic issues are as big a threat.
Well, look, you know, what led to the decline of almost every major power that we've seen over the past 100 years, and we could take this back obviously much further. It's been when their ambitions around the world outstretched their treasury's ability to go finance it. That's the story of the British Empire. It's the story of the Soviet Union. And there's an interesting
Roman line. Empire.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
The Roman Empire.
Yeah, the Roman Empire, of course. There's an interesting line very high up in the opening section of the security strategy where it says outright, you know, what our enemies are hoping the United States will do is imperial overstretch, and that the United States must avoid that.
You know, David, I don't know if you're familiar with this book that Gary Wills has published about that really sort of charts the course of the transformation of the American presidency since
the
bomb power, right? And he
just finished reading it.
It's unbelievable, and it sort of suggests that every administration has maintained since World War II essentially a war footing. For one reason or another, Cold War for a long time, war on terror during the Bush years. Do you sense Obama is trying to push back from that, or has he just redefined another kind of war footing?
I think he's redefining it. I mean, I think he says very high up in this strategy, and the strategy's 52 pages long. He says that, you know, the United States is a nation at war, but I think that he also is trying to make the argument through it that you can't let the immediate wars in front of us dominate America's long-term strategy. And that's an interesting argument that is quite different from the Bush era, where you heard President Bush at various moments try to use phrases like Islamo-fascism to get the country to put together a war footing akin to fighting the fascists in World War II.
One thing that was also notable about the Bush doctrine that has, in a way, continued in this newest security strategy is the idea of the spread of democracy. But Obama has changed it just a tiny bit. How does it appear in Obama's national security strategy?
It appears in Obama's national security strategy as a push for universal rights. And it's actually more explicit than President Obama usually makes this issue in his speeches. He has very consciously walked away from what President Bush used to refer to as the freedom agenda. But it does discuss universal rights. It does it in a very non-religious way. You'll remember that President Bush would always refer to these as God-given rights to mankind, you know, around the world. And President Obama has made this a somewhat more secular discussion.
Interesting.
And he's also said that economic opportunity is a basic human right.
Here's something you wouldn't have found in the Bush doctrine. He says access to health care, getting people out of poverty, these are all fundamental human rights, whereas in the Bush doctrine, they would seem as aspirations, as a way to help reduce conflict. That obviously, if you have countries that are not dealing with great poverty, then your chances of conflict might be reduced.
David Sanger's article about the new national security strategy is in the New York Times right now. He's chief Washington correspondent.